from Wall Street to your street, and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Big banks are nearly $500 billion in the hole. We'll tell you all about it coming up on Your Money Matters.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Jennifer Strong in New York. At 20 big banks, plunging share prices have erased a quarter of their combined market value. Joining me in the studio with more on the story is the Wall Street Journal's David Riley. David, you say Brexit isn't all to blame here.
No, it's not. It's, things are so tumultuous right now, and it's been such a shock that I think it erases people's memories of earlier this year. And things were really bad in January and February. In fact, in some cases, they were worse. And back then, what we had happening was people didn't know what was going to happen with the Federal Reserve and interest rates. There was worries about China's economy and a hard landing. Oil prices were going down to $25 a barrel, and commodities and emerging markets were coming under pressure. So there was a lot of strains then, and that really knocked the banks down. Then by about, say, April, May, things started coming back. The banks had regained some ground, but they were already never got back to where they were at the start of the year. And then Brexit came along and just knocked them back down to where they were.
And how much of an issue is this for the European banks versus big ones here in the U.S.?
It's definitely more of an issue for the European banks. So if you look at where the biggest falls have happened, it's at the European banks. It's, you know, you look at Italy's UniCredit, which is down by about two-thirds. You look at Barclays, you look at Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse. They've all have lost half their value since the start of the year, their market value. So the U.S. banks are down in some cases 10-20% that they've lost their value, but it's just nowhere near as bad as for the European banks.
But there is more at stake here than just their pride, though.
Right, sure. I mean, you know, obviously, and I've had some people say to me, well, you know, this isn't the banks, this is just the shareholders, the investors. And that's true to a degree. But it is important for the banks because, especially for the European ones, and it's more so, you know, if you're looking at the U.S. banks, you're more likely to say, hey, the banks in terms of the U.S. banks, the capital they have, it looks pretty strong. They just all went through the Federal Reserve stress tests just a few weeks ago, came out, you know, good to very good. So it's if those banks are down 10-15%, it's painful. The banks don't like it. The shareholders don't like it. But okay, it's not as worrisome. If you're some of the European banks, though, and you're down 50% and there's questions about the European Union and the viability of the euro, and there's also worries about do some of these banks have enough capital, then the share price fall is really an issue. Because if you don't have enough capital, you might have to go raise more. And the cheaper your share price is, the more expensive it's going to be to raise that capital.
At least for now, though, these banks are saying they don't need to go raise capital. Is that right?
So far, that's the line for most of the banks, even in Europe. And I don't think anyone is talking about whether the U.S. banks need to raise capital. In fact, the U.S. banks have just been green-lighted by the Fed to return capital to shareholders. In Europe, though, I mean, right now, sort of the most burning issue is in Italy, where the government is saying it might need to put 44 billion euros into the banking system. And that's causing a fight between the Italian government and the European Union, which is saying, no, that's state aid, and under new rules you can't do that. So it's very much a debate within Europe.
Very interesting. And, you know, for folks who have never heard of this Fed stress test, can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The stress test only came about in 2009, and it was a response to the financial crisis. And every year since then, they've done one of these stress tests where they take the biggest banks in the U.S. This past year was 33 banks, almost all U.S. banks, but some also the U.S. operations of foreign banks. And they take their data on their balance sheet and their businesses, and then they put it through a stress test. And they say, what if things got really bad again? What was it like the financial crisis? What if unemployment went from 4.7 or 4.9% where it is today back up to 10%? What if stock prices fell by 50%? What if your biggest single trading partner collapsed like Lehman Brothers? And so they assume all those things, and then they take, you know, their different loan books and they model in the losses and they come up with, you know, billions and billions of dollars of losses. And they say, okay, after all that happens, how much capital do you have left And do you have meet the minimum requirements? And that's a way for the Fed and the banks to both get a better handle on, you know, how are they measuring risk and how are they managing risk.
That's the Wall Street Journal's David Riley. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks very much.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters from the newsroom in New York. I'm Jennifer Strong.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.